Yeah, what's up, everybody? It's Ringside Report MMA. Tonight on the show, we preview UFC on ABC3. The Team Dave Parlay has won 2 weeks in a row. Can I give you more winners tonight? Maybe. And Jake Paul has some mean words for Conor McGregor.
Let's go!
So mean. What a mean guy that
what
Jake
did he
Paul.
Say? I must have missed it. Cause...
I'll play the video for you, Fred. I will play the video. You will be able to see Jake Paul.
Start with that.
You want to start with that? Oh, okay.
Well,
Fred is jumping the gun.
Yeah. Like, I had things to say on Jake Paul because I think he's fighting now Rockman. Like,
Haseem Rockman Jr., the son of the great boxer Haseem Rockman. So,
and from what I understood, they've trained together, both of them.
Yes.
Which to me is like, that probably tells me that Jake Paul probably had the upper hand on him. Because, like, I don't think Jake Paul would put himself in a fight where he knows he's going to lose. So, I don't know. We'll see, man.
I think you're right. I think that this is probably a fight that he thinks he's going to win.
What's up, homies? I'm going to tell you something.
Yeah, what's up,
I'm
going to
tell you something.
Yeah?
Listen, I'm gonna tell you something. Did you guys actually watch the conference between these two guys when they were yapping away?
Rockman and Paul?
Yeah.
I saw like a clip or two.
Listen, I saw the whole thing, and I'm gonna tell you something. You know, one thing with ramen, this guy is
ramen?
A real boxing.
Ramen?
Yeah. Ramen noodles?
Like noodles?
Yeah,
it's Rockman.
Yeah, like ramen, man.
It's Rockman.
Whatever you want to call him.
Rockman.
Yeah, whatever.
I like Rockman.
Listen.
Ramen.
Ramen. Listen, I'm going to tell you something.
Where's the rock?
Where's the rock? It's not the raclette, David. That's true. C'est pas le raclette. Yeah, like rock. The rock is with an R. It's not with a H. It also be called the hawk. David, do you want to see the hawk tonight?
I'm saying rock, man. Like a hard H. Rahman.
What are you trying to get?
Like
Shish Tawu or something, man.
You know? No? I think I'm right.
Yeah, I think you are right, but I don't say no.
Rockman.
I don't see no K in there, man.
There's no K.
Anyways,
it's a hard H, bro. It's a
that's het, what she
but
said.
Khabib,
het. Khabib, that's what she said. H.
There's Khabib. A KH, too. Khabib. What do you say, Habib or Khabib?
Habib, man. Habib.
I say Khabib. I have a...
Right. Khabib.
Anyways, you think that Jake Paul's going to beat this man or what, AJ?
Listen, man, you know me. I've been on the Jake Paul bandwagon. But I'm going to tell you something. Listening to these guys going at it, I mean, Rockman or Ramen or whatever
Rockman.
You want to call him. This guy is no joke. He's coming. Look, his father said a few things that were a little bit like questionable and whatnot, saying that the problem with Rockman is that he doesn't like really prepare.
Mother.
Yeah, it doesn't really. Mother. He's a mother. He's no motherfucker there. But he was like, he doesn't prepare for his fights, and he's, you know, he.
No,
I don't get it, man. I don't get it. But I'm going to tell you something. Look, he's going up against a guy who's a bigger opponent. Did you see these guys standing next to each other?
Yeah.
Jake was trying to do everything he can to get his chin up to make himself look taller. This guy is a beast, man. Haseem is a beast. The guy is a real boxer. The guy is coming out to kill him. And they had that talk about what Freddie was talking about. Yeah, they were training at one point. And then Jake Paul was trying to say is that Ramen tried to run out of the ring. And then Rockman said, listen, bud, when we were sparring, I was only using one hand. He had one hand behind his back and just throwing jabs and things like that. And he actually said, if anybody ran out of the ring, it's you. Show the full footage and let's see where it stands. But he was sparring with him with one hand. And that's the thing, man. Listen, Jake Paul is a beast. There's no doubt about it. And he said it in the interview. He was in the conference, I should say, that he trains with the best, man. He's got the best of everybody. This kid is no joke. But
I mean, this guy is 12-1, says. Still,
man, if he could beat Rockman Haseem, it's going to be impressive. If he could put out Haseem, it'll be impressive. But Haseem was pissed in there. He's coming in to say, there's one thing, the difference between me and the other guys is you're trying to make an example out of me, but I'm a boxer. I'm coming in and I'm going to beat the crap out of you. This guy says he wasn't intimidated whatsoever. And when they went toe to toe, like I said, man, I didn't realize how much bigger Haseem was. It's going to be interesting. And the guy is a southpaw. That's not a joke, man. So you've got two big strikes on you. Size, experience, champion father, pissed off because he's being like, look like a schmo.
Yeah.
And he's a southpaw. Dude, I'm a Jake Paul fan, but let me tell you.
It could be a problem.
I'm going to say one thing.
It's going to be a problem.
It could be a problem. It could be, yeah. Like, he is legit.
Yeah, because like time, Jake Paul, I look at who he's fought. It's all people that were making their debut. And this Rockman guy, he has 13 fights, 12-1. So I don't know him. Like, I know he's the son of a legend, a former champion. But, yeah, like, that's a big step in competition. But thanks. If they train together, man, Jake Paul has to feel confident. It would make no sense for him to take a fight that he would lose.
I think that's a good point.
You know what? Look, he's just taking this fight on like, really really last minutes when you think about it. He was supposed to fight Fury. That was a different thing. If he was going to fight Fury, I can tell you that, Jake, I'm pretty confident that he would have won.
Thanks.
You know, a very different type of boxer. But the difference with Raheem, man, like Freddie says, he's 12-1. Man, he's got everything in there, like I said a few minutes earlier, to be a dangerous, dangerous option, man. And listen to this. If Jake Paul is able to beat this guy, it's going to legitimize his status. Because he's not going up against an MMA guy. That's what the Hackman said. He says, you're not going up against chumps that were past their prime. You know, you're not going up against guys that don't, like, were MMA guys that don't have the best boxing out there. You know, yeah, you talked about Woodley. He's right. Woodley was a great fighter in MMA. But the angles and stances and just the whole game of boxing, it's a different game, man.
Sure.
You know?
But,
you know, it's a different game.
Fred does make a good point that when the original opponent, Tommy Fury, couldn't make it for the August 6th date at Madison Square Garden, they took a guy that they trained with before that they were familiar with in Haseem Cockman, the Cockman is coming in. Also, according to Bet99.com, Rahman, plus 175, the underdog. Jake Paul coming in at a minus 260 favorite. So the odds makers disagreeing with you, AJ. They got Jake Paul here as a favorite.
As
favorite. Fred, go ahead.
Well, I'm going to, like, not change subject, but, man, I'm looking at this Tommy Fury guy. The first guy he fought in his career had 102 losses. The second guy he fought had a record of 0-26. Man, when you start your boxing record 0-26, man, you gotta really want to continue, man.
You're just a punching bag with legs that walks. That's it. That's all you are. You're absolutely right, man.
Who starts 0-26 in their career?
I don't know.
A guy who's 0-26 and needs the money, man. That's what happens. And that's what they're called. They're called feeders. MMA guys were doing that in the early days.
But Cockman fought the feeders, too. If you look at his record, the guys, his first few fights, he's fighting guys with the 2-8 records, 0-4. I mean, these guys are there to lose. And Haseem Rahman Jr. fought a bunch of guys that were there to lose in his career as well.
Absolutely, dude. But everybody does that in the world of combat. You're always going to have feeders in the beginning. You know, it's just to hone the skills, get the jitters out.
That's good MMA doesn't have.
Well, MMA in the beginning, Freddie, I hate to tell you this. In the early days of local fighting, there was a lot of that. Not that bad, but it was there. You know, it's like I've seen it a lot of times where guys had records of 6-0 in MMA coming in, then finally getting into the big leagues, and then almost dying, you know, at the hands of the fact that, you know, they're at a different level. And we saw that a lot in Quebec as well with boxing. You know, we saw some fighters, you know, making their way outside of Montreal, going to the pond across to the UK and almost dying. You know, I always say this. Yeah, you know, you could feed a fighter. But you know what? To be a champion, you have to beat champions. And so far, Jake Paul has beat a champion twice. You know?
Yeah.
So let's think about that.
I think Jake Paul's going to win. I've got Jake Paul by decision in this fight. Maybe even a knockout. Who knows? Who knows? But I think Jake Paul will win this fight. I'm going with Jake Paul. But that's not until August. Doesn't really matter.
August
and also, it's a fight that I'm just not that interested in because the other Jake Paul fights have been more fun. Been against guys like Tyron Woodley or Ben Askren or guys that I'm familiar with. This Haseem Rahman Jr., the only reason I know about this guy is because he's fighting Jake Paul. But aren't that's not why we're talking size? About Jake Paul. We're not talking about Jake Paul because of his fight with this guy. We're talking about Jake Paul because of his potential fight with Conor McGregor. The reason why Jake Paul is interesting right now to me. Not because of his boxing match on August 6th that I may or may not watch. Yeah?
We're talking about like Jake Paul and Haseem Rahman and them having like tomato cans as opponents. And now Conor McGregor enters the discussion, man. Conor, man, what are you doing in this discussion?
Well, you know.
Conor, he wants the money, man.
Jake Paul sees Conor McGregor as a very big name who likes to box, who can draw a lot of money, who's quite a bit smaller than him. Size-wise, right? Like, Jake Paul outweighs Conor by, like, 40, 50 pounds. I don't know what kind of weight they'd meet at. Conor would probably go up to, like, 180, 190 pounds just to do the fight. And he'd be undersized, and he might even lose, which is sad.
Well, Dave, he kind of looks like that at this point. Like, if you look at his, like, his physique right now, he's looking at around 185, man. If not 190, the guy looks big. He looks like he's ready to fight Jake.
But if Conor goes for that, wouldn't that be, like, an admission that he's just not an elite fighter no more? If you're fighting Jake Paul, like, if you're, like, I understand the money, man, but. Come on, man. Conor McGregor shouldn't be in the same.
Think about it.
We were saying Fred, that he should probably just fight Jim Miller in the UFC. Like, where is Conor McGregor at right now? He's not at a championship level. He's not at the top level of the game. Does he fight Jim Miller? I mean, honestly, if you're Conor McGregor and you're trying to make some money, which he is, who would you rather fight? A guy at your level, Jake Paul, or a guy at your level, Jim Miller? Like, more people know Jake Paul, so you'd rather fight him, you know? Conor, I think, is basically at a point now in his career where he's, you know, kind of done
at a
championship level.
Does he need the money? No. Let's be honest. He's the richest athlete in sports.
Well,
the number one.
Not true, but
no.
All right.
No,
yes, it is. It's absolutely true.
No,
he's
no,
above. Not
no,
because of the sport, but
not
because
Mayweather.
Of what the sport is. Listen, he's on the Forbes number one. Ronaldo is behind him. Messi's behind him.
This year he wasn't
still
even
today.
In the top. Like, you're quoting a
no, no,
man.
Year,
he's, one year he
from
topped
20,
it.
2022. He did it 2020, 2021. And let me tell you something.
How did he do it?
The guy is the richest guy out there. He doesn't need the money. He likes to fight because he likes to fight, but he also likes the game of entertainment. That's what Conor is. And the same thing what Jake Paul said. He says, I'm the younger version of Conor. I'm coming out to entertain. And that's what Conor is now. I still think Conor has it in him to get to the championship fights in whatever weight class. And he's going to be the biggest pay-per-view seller again, no matter what. When Conor
get to
comes,
the championship fights
sells.
In whatever weight class. What does that mean? Winning fights on the way there, or just getting the fights because he's Conor?
Just
what
exactly getting the fights because
so
he's Conor.
You're saying the UFC might give him the Oliveira fight at 155 for the belt, based on the fact that he's Conor
Jim Miller
and Oliveira wants to fight him because Oliveira wants the money. Sure,
exactly.
But he's going to get smashed by Oliveira. Like, he's not at that level anymore. He's not competing at that level. You got to be more active, man. You got to be more active. Also, he's not winning any kind of fights. Let's listen to Jake Paul obliterate your boy Conor McGregor, because I think he did a really good job. Let's hear from our friend here, Jakey Paul. Can we hear from him?
Jakey.
Hear from him. Play.
Come on, Paulie.
Uh-oh.
Play it.
Here we go.
Conor McGregor just tweeted at me because of this interview.
He has to get active again. You know, who knows when that's going to happen.
These are his tweets, and here's my response. Conor, Conor, Conor. You're more active on Twitter than you are in the octagon. Stop taking Trenbolone and start taking fights. You're more actively cheating on your wife than you are in the octagon. Your priorities are mixed up. Put down the bottle and get back to fighting. You haven't won a fight in 5 fucking years, and the last time you did was against Cowboy Cerrone, who hasn't want to fight against anyone since fighting you. I'm a nobody, you say in this tweet. Well, yeah, you're right. I'm just a fucking kid from Ohio. I really am a nobody, but this is where you fought your 6th fight.
There's literally 2 people in the crowd.
And this is where I'm going to be fighting my 6th fight. Madison Square Garden, the mecca of boxing. August 6th. I know you'll be watching, kiddo. Here's another fun fact. In your 18th fight, you made $150,000. In my 5th fight, I made $15 million. You want to talk about pay-per-view buys? Nate Robinson, $1.8 million. Ben Askren, 500,000. Tyron Woodley won, 500,000. Tyron Woodley 2, no one even wanted to see that fight. And we got 200,000 pay-per-view buys. In the last 5 years, you've had zero pay-per-view buys because you don't fucking fight. You have a lot to say about me, but I'm sharing millions of dollars with underpaid fighters while you're sharing hookers with Dana White.
Oh God.
Oh no. Oh no, not again.
I'm sorry, Connor. I know busted. Your PR team is trying to hide that video. You shouldn't have fucked with me, Connor. This is my game. There's a new king in town. I'm running shit now.
What's up, Connor? What's up? What's up?
Last year, when I won knockout of the year, you were just getting knocked out. Fix your calcium deficiency, stop breaking your bones, and let's get in the fucking ring and make $200 million. Connor, no matter how you slice it, we're just not on the same level. I'm my own boss. Yeah, you made $100 million when you fought Floyd, but Dana took half of it. So no matter what you do or what you make, cut that shit in half. We went net worth for net worth. I would shit on you, Connor. Put the bottle down, get off of Twitter, get back in the ring, and shut the fuck up. I'm gonna put you back on a leash. Fuck you.
Whoa.
Conor McGregor.
Whoa, man. That was heavy, man. Holy smokes. And he's not even fighting Conor. Think about it.
Well,
Why is he doing the promo, man?
It's like, a public feud. It's been going on for a while, and eventually they will fight, and it'll be huge. It's just being built up. Eventually, you know these guys are going to fight. Because, like I said, Conor McGregor is maybe the world's biggest celebrity fighter at this point, and Jake Paul is coming for that crown. It's a celebrity fighting league that they're in. And there's a lot of guys that are in that celebrity fighting league, and it's something I've been saying for a long time on this show. There are certain guys that are in the real fighting league, and there are certain guys that are in that celebrity league, and they think they're in the real fighting league. Nobody has told them yet. Diaz brothers. You know what I'm saying? Like, these guys... These guys are in the celebrity fighting league, and they're looking for world title shots. And they think they can win. They think they can win. It's like BJ Penn at the end where he was like still trying to get a title shot, but it's like, yo, BJ, have you not seen how you're fighting lately? It's not so good. You know? You're not who you were. And it's hard for a lot of these guys to realize that they weren't who they were because how do you explain it? 3 years ago, I was the man. Now I suck? What? And it sucks, but that's just professional sports. Sometimes you're really good, and sometimes you can't compete anymore, and that's time and age, and that's across every sport across the damn board. So
let's cocaine and hookers.
Well, that too. If you keep your mind sharp and you stay in shape and everything, and you stay active, you can last longer than you should sometimes. But if you're not active and you're on yachts and you're doing whatever with whoever, you know, sometimes you lose a lot of fights. And I think with Conor McGregor,
that's an old
he's
video.
At that
that's
point.
An old video.
He's at the point where
that's
he's
an old video.
Losing fights.
Listen, man, bottom line is you
and
mentioned all those fighters.
Anything.
You mentioned all those fighters, and I was a huge fan of BJ Penn. Still am, even though he's going through a lot of trouble.
Of course.
BJ Penn, nor George St. Pierre, nor technically even Khabib, who is my favorite of all time, could sell pay-per-views like Conor does. And that's the difference. You can name all those guys, but if Conor decides to come in on a pay-per-view, it's a sellout, it's a blockbuster, it'll probably be on the top 10. And if he fights a guy like... But that's the thing. Conor, I don't like hearing, he's washed out, he's this and that. He's not washed out, man. Bro. It's a fighting game. And the guy reinvents himself
he's
all the time.
He's not washed out and, as a guy
he's
to
He's not
sell,
washed out.
But as far as in the cage, he's still an elite fighter, but he's not a title contender. I'm sorry.
He's not top
beating
10.
Beating Donald Cerrone. What else? Except Donald Cerrone. What's his other win, man? You got to go all the way back to Alvarez. Is there anything else?
Eddie Alvarez in 2016. He's
one win in 6 years.
He's 1-3 in the past 5 years. 1-3.
Yeah, it's horrible, man. You're absolutely right. But, you know.
And Cerrone just retired after losing to Jim Miller. Jake Paul is saying is true as well. After Cerrone lost to Conor, he never won another fight. Cerrone was on a two-fight losing streak when he fought Conor. He had lost two in a row. He lost to Conor. Then he lost four more, and he stopped fighting.
And look, Poirier. Who did Poirier lose to recently? Poirier beat Conor twice.
Oliveira. No disrespect, but it was Oliveira, okay. Who's pretty good.
But Poirier beat him twice, and he wasn't really competitive in those two fights. I know one of them he broke his leg, but I don't know, man. I need Conor to show me a lot. Like, what one fight against a no-name is not going to make me believe in him. Against a guy that's finished or whatever they decide to put in front of him.
No, I don't think they're going to do that. I think they're going to give him something challenging, and it's going to be bad. It might be the end of the Conor McGregor show. He's 34 years old. He's 1-3 in the past 5 years. I mean, the numbers don't lie.
He's got a titanium leg. No, he's got a titanium leg. I mean, he's got all these obstacles in front of him, but yet the man can still get pay-per-view numbers that no one else can get.
Would you pick him to beat Oliveira? Would you pick him to beat Oliveira if they fought? Because they could fight. Look, man, and look, if they listen, do fight, I think it's fine. I think it's totally fine because he's Conor and he's earned it and he's a big star. And if he wants to go for one last title shot, sure, why not? Because he makes money and Oliveira deserves it too. Oliveira deserves that big money Conor McGregor fight. And he's put himself in a position where he's worth Conor McGregor's time. So that's good and I'm down with that. But look, I think Oliveira would demolish him.
Listen, I'm going to tell you something. I don't think he's going to demolish him. Unlike Poirier, where he's a southpaw as well, when you're fighting as a southpaw, you've got that edge. And Conor has power behind that punch that can knock out anybody. Charles Oliveira is an orthodox fighter. And I'm going to tell you this. You're fighting Conor as a southpaw. I'm telling you, Conor could beat Oliveira. It's a harder fight against Poirier when you got two southpaws going at each other. It's a different game. He just couldn't have that edge. You know, it didn't help with the broken leg. But I'm telling you, remember what I said, man. If Conor Oliveira loses, fight happens, do not forget. You've got the strongest punching southpaw in MMA, and it's Conor McGregor, man. I'm telling you, he's not washed up. He's not done.
I'm telling looking you, at man, the rankings right now, and the top eight would beat Conor in my mind. Oliveira, Poirier, Gaethje, Makhachev, Chandler, Dariush, Fiziev, Dos Anjos. I wouldn't pick Conor against any of them.
Yep, 100%.
Blasphemy. Blasphemy, boys.
Well,
but you know what?
What?
Look.
I mean,
look,
it's just anyways, is what it is, AJ.
I know it is what it is, but the guy is still, he's 34 years old. He still has a couple of good years if he's serious in the game. And I'm telling you,
is
don't
he, though?
Underestimate.
He's not serious in the game. He's not.
I think I seen some videos, man. I keep telling you of him training, and it's crazy. The guy is like, you know, we see only the bad parts of Conor. Just like in politics, you always see the bad side of anyone. You don't see the 90% of his good stuff. And you know what? Jake Paul knows that too. He's just like, you know, he's hamming it up. But let's be honest, man. Conor, you know, didn't take Cowboy Cerrone lightly. He came in and he fucked up Cowboy Cerrone. You can say whatever you want that Cowboy was washed up, but let me tell you, man, you got no like tougher fighter in a ring than Cowboy Cerrone, both physically and mentally. Cowboy comes in and wants to win no matter who he has in front of him. It wasn't an easy fight for Conor, regardless.
He was on a 6-fight losing streak.
Yes.
What are we talking about here?
He still knocked him out.
The will of the fighter.
He still knocked him out.
Like, I understand. Yeah, but that's not what we're saying. We're not saying these guys weren't once great. What we're saying is the time has come and gone. Shout out to the members. Shout out to everybody checking in. I see my man Angelo Contagonis in the chat. What's up, Angelo? Angelo agrees. I'm not sure who he agrees with. Probably me and Fred, I would assume.
Yeah,
that's usually where it should go.
Or he's agreeing with Jake Paul, man. He's become a big Jake Paul fan.
Yeah, Jake Paul, we'll see. Hello to Brooklyn Lizard. Hello to TK. Shout out everybody watching us live on YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, and Twitter. Yes, Angelo's agreeing with us, of course. Angelo, my man, you can get one of these cool shirts that I'm wearing over at merch.ringsidereport.net. I know Angelo got himself one. There you go.
Send us a picture, Angelo. We'll put you up.
Yeah. So last week, if you bet with Team Dave, you were successful again. I hope you did. I know my man Doug Hepburn out in Kingston was rolling with Team Dave. He threw Cody Brundage on his parlay. Brundage coming in as an underdog pick with a nice knockout win over Trayshon Gore. We had Brundage, we had Calvillo, and we had Fizzy. Unfortunately, the Calvillo-Nunez fight didn't take place because Nunez got sick the day of the fight.
What'd she have? Food poisoning?
I don't know.
Something like that?
I'm not sure. Something. So she wasn't able to fight, so that fight didn't happen. So the Team Dave Parlay went from 3 fights to 2 fights. But still a winner. Brundage, the underdog pick, and Fiziev, the main event victory over Rafael Dos Anjos. A close 5-round fight that ended with a very impressive knockout by Fiziev in the 5th round.
Crazy,
18
man.
Seconds in, coming in real strong on Dos Anjos, putting him down. Very impressive performance from Rafael Fiziev, who's just 29 years old now, 12-1 in the UFC, coming off 2 straight knockouts, 3 of his past 4 wins come via knockout, including this amazing performance and knockout win over Rafael Dos Anjos, who's a former champion, who is a legend of the game. Fiziev, after dropping his first fight in the UFC to Magomed Mustafayev, has now won 6 in a row in the octagon. So he's a real contender right now at 155 pounds from Azerbaijan, Rafael Fiziev. Dangerous dude. Last week it was Izzy in the main event. This week it was Fizzy. And he looked really good over RDA last week. Real nice. Fizzy, that's what I call him. I think the ref
was
calling him Fizzy
too.
Hey, Fizzy. It's a good nickname.
He went the fight went 5 rounds also. Like he showed he has what it takes to fight in 5 rounders, to fight the top level. And yeah, I hope he gets a good matchup. Give him another big name. Dos Anjos is a little bit on the downside maybe, but hey, Dos Anjos still a legit fighter. Dos Anjos would kill McGregor.
I agree. I think that would be an interesting fight though. I think that's kind of where Conor's at, if he wants to work his way back up to the championship, like if he's trying to make a run. Like, I think going into the deep water against Oliveira would be too tough, but if he can see what he can do against RDA, you know, coming off the knockout loss to Fiziev, it might be the time to go after him, but I don't know. But that fight was close, man, going into the 5th round. Like, I wasn't sure who was going to win, and then Fiziev didn't let it go to the judges, which is big. Ayman Zahabi, got to send a shout-out to Ayman Zahabi, great Montreal fighter. He came through as an underdog as well, beating Ricky Tercios with a unanimous decision. Ayman played it really nicely, very patient. Tercios was making all sorts of sounds, doing all sorts of movements, and Ayman fought a perfect fight to get the decision. Nice, solid boxing there from Ayman Zahabi. So big win for him. Nice win for Chase Sherman. Knockout win over Jared Vandera. Saeed Nurmagomedov got a decision win over Douglas Silva de Andrade. Tough fight there. Saeed Nurmagomedov, by the way, I think we said he was related to Khabib last week. He's not related to Khabib. Nurmagomedov apparently is just a common name out there.
I don't know.
Apparently,
not like
yeah.
Smith?
But he knows Khabib and their families are friends, which is like, what? What's going on here? Everybody's
Listen,
named
did he touch Khabib?
What?
If he touched Khabib and trained with Khabib, he's got the edge, bud.
I mean, if your name is Nurmagomedov, usually that's just a sign that you're good at fighting.
And you're from around the same neighborhood.
Yeah.
If you're from Dagestan, chances are your crystal ball says you're going to win.
Caio Borrallo over Armin Petrosian by unanimous decision. Impressive performance from Borrallo. And Jamie Mullarkey with a close decision win over Michael Johnson, won a split decision. That was a tough loss for Michael Johnson. Close one.
Man, we weren't too off on our parlays either, myself and Freddie. The only thing that really bust my parlay, which was, I think, an 8-fight parlay, was the Courtney Casey fight. I was so confident that Courtney Casey was going to win that. I think Freddie as well. And, man, they turned around on us, and that was the end of it. Because the rest of the card, man, we were on the mark.
Yeah, I think you had a few other ones that were wrong, but
no, I think it was just Courtney Casey.
All right. But all my fight picks were right. 2 weeks in a row, guys.
Yeah, man.
The Team Dave Parlay.
What was the payout? What was your payout? It was
I don't remember. It was like 20 to win 100, 100 something. It wasn't huge, but with the Calvillo fight off the parlay was probably less. It probably wasn't a huge payout. But I'm not trying to make you rich, you know, unless you want to bet a lot of money. I'm just trying to give you winners every week. I'm just trying to make you money. That's my strategy. Because sometimes if you're trying to strike it rich, you wind up making losing picks. Because, you know, betting, the point is for you not to win, right? So you got to find the advantages where you can and then win where you can. Sometimes you can find big advantages, but sometimes
you say
they're not always there. I know what I'm talking about, AJ. I've been doing this for a while.
You are, man. Listen, man, I always treat you hard. I said, Dave Simon is probably the most knowledgeable guy in MMA in Canada. Maybe the U.S. too, but, you know.
I know a lot about MMA. I watch a lot of MMA. I've been watching a lot of MMA for like 20 years now,
I guess. He's the Gabagool, man. Dave is the Gabagool of MMA.
Oh, I love Gabagool. Gabagool is so good. I love to go to my fridge late at night, open the little bag of Gabagool, spread it out, you know, put it on the fridge, and eat it at the fridge like, and pretend I'm Tony Soprano. Mm. You know, that's what Tony Soprano used to do. He used to eat the Gabagool at the fridge. You know what I'm saying? I think there's more than one scene of Tony eating the Gabagool at the fridge, and then he's having the Tropicana juice with some pulp.
You need a little bit of...
Some pulp.
Yeah, you need a little bit of Vino Rosso, you know, but... That's the way I eat my gabagool, man.
It's a classic scene. When Tony's outside in the driveway. Or no, Carmella's outside in the driveway. Tony comes out and he's got the Tropicana juice. He's like, what is this? It's pulp. She's like, you like it with pulp. I like the one that says some pulp. Because, you know. And then she throws the phone at him. She's real mad. It's good, too. And I get the some pulp, too, just because Tony Soprano. Because if you buy the Tropicana orange juice, there's no pulp, with pulp, some pulp. And Tony likes one with some pulp, and I like that one, too. It's the best.
Hey, listen, man. You got to do something on Polly. Give me one of Polly's stories, man. Crack me up.
I mean, yeah, of course. Polly, the great Tony Sirico, passed away last week. AJ's paying tribute. I did a little tribute to him. I talked about my favorite Pauly scenes on Friday. I know Fred's a big Sopranos fan. Fred, you got any favorite Pauly scenes?
I don't know. The Christopher intervention.
Oh, yeah.
You're weak. What does he tell him?
You're weak and you're a disgrace. Yeah, he just like...
I think the... For me, it was the clairvoyant when he went to go see, like, you know, the, mm-hmm. those people talking with the dead. And he's like, how the fuck do you know?
Yeah.
Remember your first?
Yeah, he goes, he's like, he wants to know if it still itches. And then he grabs a guy, who you been talking to? So good. I like when when he's
running
at
after the Russian.
I like when he's at the restaurant with... his mother and those two other old ladies, and they take the rolls in their bag, and he's like, those porterhouse rolls belong to my ma. And then he goes, hey, wrap these rolls up. And he gets the waiter to wrap up. Just the way he snaps, and he's like, these rolls belong to my ma. It's just that's fantastic. All that stuff. Pauly with the old ladies. He's great.
Remember, if the boss says you're Santa Claus, you're Santa Claus.
The boss of this family told you you're Santa Claus. You're Santa Claus.
You're Santa Claus, man. Forget about it.
Yeah.
Man, I can't believe it. Listen, think about it. Listen, there was like fictitious mobsters, real mobsters. In the last like month, you had from Ray Liotta to James Caan to Pauly Walnuts,
to Pauly
Soprano way back. And then you even had like Mont Boucher here in Quebec that went down, you know? So, man, it's been a tough week for, you know, the syndicate. Just saying.
I don't know what exactly you're trying to say.
I mean, the first three are from Hollywood, and the third one is a mobster.
Yeah, I don't know what you're trying to say. The syndicate. Okay, let's talk about the card this weekend and try to give you some winners. AJ, do you have any winners for me? Or just losers. More you losers. To... you got more losers.
Listen, man.
For me?
Listen, first of all, my 8-fight parlay was doing well till Courtney Casey decided to ruin it for us.
Sure.
Look.
But there's some talk.
You want me to go?
There's some talk about congratulating Freddie. Headstrom Bacon says congratulations, Fred, for the marriage. Congratulations, Fred.
I guess. Thanks.
3 minutes. John, it took 3 minutes, but the wedding cake was amazing.
It was.
It was, man. It was a hell of a wedding, man. You can see the pictures on our Instagram. You can find it
perfect,
on our Twitter
man.
Feed. Yeah, it was a fantastic party, man. So much fun. Say hi to Bruno Great. For me. I met Freddie's buddy Bruno with the killer dog. It was a fun time, man.
You want to do jiu-jitsu
a
with
lot
the
of dog?
My old that, dog, man. I used to sometimes try to choke him and things like that, but dogs have good escapes, man. They know how to get their head out.
Hey, listen, man. They didn't call Carlson Gracie the pit bull for no reason, eh? Or was it the bulldog? One of the two.
I advise against fighting dogs. I don't think it's good to fight dogs. I don't think it's good for dogs to fight each other either, in case you're into that.
Yeah, it's not a good idea.
What is that, dog fighting? Do people still do that? Is that still a thing
do? Wasn't there a football player that was doing that and he
Michael
got arrested?
Vick.
Remember that?
Michael Vick.
Yeah.
Ruined his football career because he was dog fighting. He got into all sorts of trouble because he had like a dog fighting ring that he was a part of or operating or something. He got in big trouble for that. That was crazy. Yeah, he was operating a dog while he was like an NFL quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons, right? Like, wasn't he like doing
making
very well
money.
As a football player, making very good money, yet on the side he was operating a dog fighting ring that he got into like serious trouble for and went to jail? What?
Yep.
That's
crazy,
one of the weirdest
man.
Stories crazy. Ever. Like, why? Why? Why did you have to do that? It's a strange thing.
Different cultures.
Yeah, but don't you know the risk involved? Like, at that point, don't you say, look, man, I got a lot of money. I'm the quarterback of this football team. Maybe I'm going to put this dogfighting thing down for a bit. When I'm retired from football, I'll get back into dogfighting. But no, he's like, I'm so passionate about dogfighting. I must continue this dogfighting career. I love dogfighting so much that I can't give it up for my NFL career.
Well,
I have to continue the dogfighting.
I think
it's a lucrative business.
It wasn't about the money. It was probably more about like being in the circle because there's also some rappers, I think, that might have been in that circle. And so, you know, it became a competition between a lot of people with money and who had the toughest dogs and things like that.
Haven't these guys ever heard of poker or something? Like, what the hell? You
know, like, chess.
You want to be a rich, play some chess.
Checkers.
Yeah.
Snakes and ladders.
Yeah,
I don't care what you play, man. You know, play the good stuff.
Hungry
don't
hippo.
Hurt your hungry hippo, man. You know?
Flip a water bottle for money. See how many times you can do that thing, that trick there.
You know?
Do that.
Walnuts. You know, you've played walnuts?
No.
Chestnuts, I'm sure you have. None. What's up with you guys?
John Headstrom says the real money is in cockfighting.
It's true, man. Cockfighting, man. Thailandese cockfighting, man. That's where the money is.
I keep my gimmick in my
pants.
A lot
of cocks
are
fighting
over there. About. My thing doesn't fight. cockfighting is a thing too. That seems for some reason that seems less offensive to me. Yeah, Little Jerry and stuff. They had cockfighting in Seinfeld. Tamale, you know. that was a good one, but it doesn't like offend me as much because we eat chickens. Dogs are like nice, like animals. I'm not a dog guy really. I like cats more, but you don't eat dogs. You know what I mean? You eat chickens. So
you hate birds. I'm
so
surprised.
I hate birds. So let them destroy each other. Like the enemy of my enemy is also my enemy. You know what I'm saying? So death to all birds. I hate birds. Birds are the worst. Damn, I hate birds. So I think that's why I like cockfighting, AJ, because I
they
like to see
other.
Birds kill each other because I hate birds because they're dicks. You know, birds are like the descendants of dinosaurs. They're basically dinosaurs. They're assholes.
Pretty much.
Fuck birds. Death to birds.
I mean, fry them and they're fucking good. They're delicious.
Well, that's it. The only good bird is a dead bird.
I'm a KFC bird, but A beautiful KFC bird.
Chicken,
turkey,
duck, turkey.
Come
I'll
on.
Eat bird. You know, I'll
quail,
eat
Portuguese style quail, man.
I've never
Can't
had that,
better.
But I'd eat it.
Oh, it's good, dude. It's
I'd
good.
Eat
oh,
it.
My God.
You know, I'll eat any kind of bird. I'm down for eating birds. I don't like birds. And they don't like me. They've come after me many times. I'm not friends with the birds, and they're not friends with me. I swear there was a bird that came at me the other day. I was doing
Probably
something.
Probably heard the show. That's
I
what happened.
My
he heard
trunk.
The show, and he's like, is that Dave Simon? I'll get
I
him, that bastard.
I opened my trunk. I opened my trunk of my car, okay? And I had my hand up on the trunk like this. And between my arm and the trunk, a bird flew right by. Went, I was like, what the hell? It was like right by me. I was like, why are you coming so close to me? And this just happened like a couple of days ago. It was another near bird attack. I'm telling you, they're always coming after me. They know. They've heard me talk shit about them, and they don't like it. Fuck those birds.
I tell
birds.
You, my favorite Facebook page is Birds Aren't Real. They're actually government drones.
That might be it, and maybe that's why they're coming after me so hard. Well, then explain chickens. Are we eating drones?
Maybe.
If birds aren't real, what is chicken? Because I've eaten many of them.
Hey, they do all type of shit these days, man. Fake meat, all that.
I don't want to be eating fake
meat. It's true, man. Freddie's got a point.
If you told me today, you know, like we find out tomorrow, guys, birds have been fake this whole time, and you every chicken you've ever eaten has been, like, dog. I mean, like, what the fuck? Would you stop eating chicken, or would you be like, I guess I like dog. Like, I don't know. You know what I mean?
Fried chicken, man.
If you found out that every piece of chicken you ever ate wasn't actually chicken but was a dog, would you then continue eating it and go, I guess dog is what I eat now? Or would you say, whoa, 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 I'm not eating this anymore.
What if it's a cat, Mr. Cat person?
Yeah, I don't know.
Do that?
I think I would probably say, well, I guess I eat cats. I guess I eat cats.
My aunt, my mom's sister, who's also my godmother, when I was a kid, I would always ask her to go to KFC, and she would get tired of that. And at some point, she looked at me, and she just said, like, they serve cats. And then it traumatized me for a while, man. Yeah, she didn't want to go to KFC. So for a while, I was really like, is it cats? But no, it's not cats. I don't think so.
Are McNuggets fake? What is this? Headstrom Bacon is telling me, a man whose last name is Bacon is telling me about meat, so I believe him.
Headstrom!
He says the McNuggets are not real. That's not good, because I like those.
What?
That's not real chicken?
They're not real.
Well, then I guess they're like fake chicken. I mean, they're good, no?
Like they're burgers.
When you eat the
100%
barbecue
beef,
sauce,
only 10% of it.
So good. No?
Hey?
Anybody? You don't like chicken McNuggets?
Man. Sure, man.
I like the McChicken usually. Yeah, McNuggets are good, but I'm a McChicken guy.
Too much mayo on that thing.
No, it's good.
Mm-hmm. Nothing better than mayo, dude.
Nothing better than mayo. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, do you want to talk about fighting again? I think we lost the point of the show. We should go back to the fighting and then.
Oh, yeah, it's true. It's an MMA show. I forgot.
Yeah, come on,
Ortega.
Man.
He's going to win.
All right, Fred. Thank you. Good night, everybody. Fred Scott Ortega.
It's all done.
I think we're done. That was good. Well done, Fred.
Man, that's good.
That's a good fight. Ortega and Rodriguez. Brian Ortega versus Yair Rodriguez. Two of the top fighters in the UFC's featherweight division. They're main eventing. This card's going to be on ABC, which is a television channel in the States. It's a big one. It's a big one. It's one of the main networks over there, ABC. It's not on ESPN. It's not on any of those offshoots. It's on ABC.
For free, man. It's going to be awesome.
It's free. If you have a TV, that is. TVs ain't free, AJ. Don't forget.
No. Well, it depends.
Electricity.
Depends what part of the state.
Electricity.
It depends on what
really
part
free.
Of the states you live in. You could just walk in and take one nowadays. But
what?
Yeah. Hmm? You don't know this stuff.
Is this more of your, I don't even want to get into it.
Conspiracy things.
Yeah. How is your, your kind.
Say what?
Dealing with the death of Ivanka Trump. No, Ivana Trump. Ivana? No.
What? She died?
Somebody died. Ivana Trump, the wife, the first wife there, Ivanka's mother. She died. Not Ivanka.
When?
Ivanka's the daughter, right? Ivana is the mother.
Yeah, Ivana.
Ivana died. Rest in peace, Ivana.
Wow.
How are the Trump supporters dealing with this?
Talking
are they like
the
mourning
syndicate.
The loss, or are they like, oh,
I don't know,
well,
man.
She was took his money, so you know what's the deal?
Because
she is Ivanka's mother, and maybe some of the other kids' mother. I would assume.
Yeah.
Right.
I would imagine. Yeah.
Is she Don Jr.'s mother?
Wow.
I think so.
Not sure.
Yuck. I would distance myself from that.
Because I was going to say, I think I read that she was the mother of the first five. But at least, man, none of her kids is smoking crack in front of a camera. Like multiple.
Freddie's got a point there. Freddie's got a point.
I don't know.
And he's not sliding down a water slide naked.
I haven't seen Don Jr. smoke crack.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Barron smoke crack.
No,
I'd be
pretty
disappointed. I'd be pretty disappointed in those nannies that raise my children. I'd be very disappointed.
Listen, I haven't
if
seen,
I'm Joe Biden or Donald Trump, I'm very disappointed in the staff of nannies that raise my children over the years because they raise some real pieces of shit.
Whoa, easy there, Dave.
Only one is smoking crack in front of the camera with hookers.
Yeah.
Is it Ivanka? Because I watched that video. That sounds like fun.
No, it's Hunter.
Oh, it's not
Hunter has gone wild. This week has been Hunter's gone wild, man. I've seen more shit on that guy than you can imagine.
All right.
It's crazy.
Let's not get kicked off YouTube talking about that. Let's talk about the fights, UFC on ABC.
Let's talk about family fun fights.
Yeah.
How come we never stick to the fights, man? I feel like this is the third time we go like, hey, we got to talk about
fights. First of all, listen. First of all, we got to make sure that everybody knows that this fight coming up.
It's AJ's fault.
This fight coming up is at 2 p.m. It's in the afternoon. If you want to watch an afternoon, it's a 2 p.m. fight. Yeah, man.
Shit.
Yeah, 2 p.m. So let's remember, if you're having your barbecue, pull out the television and take our bets because you got to bet as of tonight or tomorrow to get the best odds. So, Dave, take it away. Bet99.com. Code ringside.
Yes. You just took it away from me. So there you go.
Yeah, man.
You did it. Congratulations. Brian Ortega, Yair Rodriguez. It's a really good fight at 145. I think Ortega takes it as well, Fred. I've been a big fan of Ortega's. I think that outside of Max Holloway or Alexander Volkanovski, people in this division are going to have a real hard time getting past Brian Ortega. He's 31 years old. He's still in his prime. He's got great boxing. He's steadily improving. Great jiu-jitsu. This guy is one of the best fighters at 145, and I think he's going to wind up fighting for the title again because he is that good. Yair Rodriguez, I think, is also very skilled, very athletic, great hands. But I think he'll be at a slight height and reach disadvantage here to Ortega, and maybe not. Maybe they're roughly the same size. But I just feel like Ortega's boxing is a little bit sharper. Yair's got some nice kicks. Like it's a tough fight to call because both of these guys are pretty well matched. I would give the edge to Brian Ortega on the ground. I think he's probably got better jiu-jitsu than Yair, and if he can take it to the ground, he might wind up wrapping up a submission. I could see that happening. I could also see this fight being real tight, going five rounds, and going Ortega's way. But honestly, I wouldn't be surprised to see a Yair Rodriguez take this fight because he's at the top of his game. He's just 29 years old. He's got a great chin. He's very dangerous. You know, but he's been knocked out before, and I think Ortega's just a slightly higher level fighter. You know, I think that they're both very good, but I think Ortega's just a little bit better in a lot of the aspects of MMA.
Look, you know what? You said it right, man. Like, Ortega is, like, probably one of the best, like, when it comes to, like, submissions in the game. Like, half his wins pretty much are submissions. If it gets to the ground, Ortega is going to take it away. But you can't take Rodriguez out because this guy pretty much, man, when you look at like leaders in striking in that division, he's up on top of them. This guy can throw some heavy punches and, man, he can knock you out. It's going to be a tough one, man. This is, again, man, like Ortega can fight. There's no doubt about it. His stand-up is great, man. The guy has everything. He's a better pedigree, in my opinion, than Rodriguez. But anything can happen in this fight. These are one of these fights where we're either going to be like complaining that it was early stoppage, it was like one-sided. But if you have to give it to one, man, you know, Brian Ortega was like when he came in and he was winning. I mean, what was this? He won 11 of his first 12 fights. I mean, this guy was on a tear. We were looking at this guy saying, this guy is the future champion. But things just went sour. He was out of the fight game for 22 months, came back. I think he fought the Korean Zombie. He won. And then, like, there was, like, wins and losses there. But the thing is that it's still T-City. He's only 31 years old, man. He still has a lot in the fight game. So if you're going to go with anybody to win this, take it with Ortega for a submission win. I think he's going to close this guy out and does what he does best. You know, tap.
I haven't seen them face to face, but I feel like Ortega's a little thicker, bigger, and he might have a little size on Yair, which is going to help him if it goes to the grappling. So yeah, I got Ortega, and submission actually, could make sense. Actually, submission or Freddie, decision.
Actually, Rodriguez is a bigger opponent. He's 5'11" to Ortega 5'9". In fact, yeah. He has a 2-inch reach on hands and feet.
I know that the numbers say that, but when I've seen them next to each other, I don't see that.
Ortega,
I don't know.
Seems thicker.
Yeah.
Look, man, that's before that. Listen, it really depends on like where they're at in cutting weight and whatnot. But if you're looking at who's the bigger fighter, you know, Rodriguez is that
Rodriguez
guy.
Yeah.
You know, he's got like inch reach on the striking part. He's got inch reach on the kicking part, and he's got height. Okay,
it's a great fight, and it might be the next contender for Volkanovski. Because Volkanovski's been beating everybody in that division. Max Holloway lost 3 times to him, so he's pretty much out of the equation. And Ortega has 1 loss to Volkanovski, but if he's impressive here, I could see him getting a title shot. And I could see also Yair getting a title shot with a win. So,
absolutely.
Big fight for both of these guys.
I think Yair definitely gets a title shot if he beats Brian Ortega, but I'm not sure that Ortega does because his last fight was against Volkanovski. Like, you lose to Volk, you fight Yair, and then you fight Volk again. No, you're right. It might be the fight, but I think, like, if Yair wins, then it's like, okay, well, you have to give him a title shot, right? But if Ortega wins, it's like, well, he just got the shot. I don't know if you do it again, but they might. They might because there's not that many top opponents because Ortega, Holloway have been playing gatekeeper to the rest of the division. You know, like it's clear who the best guys at 145 are. It's Volkanovski, then Holloway, then Ortega. And then there's everybody else.
Yep.
And Yair and a guy like Yair needs to kind of break through that. But he's fought Holloway and lost. That was his last fight. Now he's going to have to try his hand at Ortega. But if he loses there, then the top three remain. And we're still kind of at that standstill where Volkanovski's the best. He's beat Ortega and Holloway. But nobody can beat Ortega other than Holloway or Volkanovski. And nobody can beat Holloway other than Volkanovski. Holloway's at this weird point, too, where it's like, okay, I fought Volk 3 times. I've lost 3 times. And now I got to fight him again, I guess. Maybe. I don't know. But he lost pretty cleanly the last time. So the division definitely needs some fresh blood. Yair Rodriguez with a win would shake things up a bit. But I don't think it gets shaken up. I think Ortega just wins.
Listen, man. Volkanovski is like steps above all these guys by far, man. Regardless who wins, man, Volkanovski
is crazy
for a long time.
Which shows you how good Volkanovski is. Like, if Brian Ortega is this guy that nobody in the UFC featherweight division can beat, right? And then Max Holloway is better than him. And then Volkanovski is even better than that. It's like, holy shit, man. Volkanovski's levels above everybody else in the division. It's crazy how good he is. And Ortega and Holloway, too. The rest of the card, we've got Amanda Lemos taking on Michelle Waterson in the co-main event. Lemos -313, the favorite. Waterson +240, the dog. I agree with those odds. I think Amanda Lemos is one of the top fighters here at 115 pounds. She's looking pretty solid. Coming off a loss to Jessica Andrade, I think she bounces back here with a win over Michelle Waterson. She's very tough, very dangerous. I think Waterson, you know, she's been around for a while. She's struggled in her past few fights. She's still, you know, very good, very mobile. But I think that Amanda Lemos pulls it out in the co-main event. She's a heavy favorite. AJ disagrees. That's okay. We'll see about your parlay, AJ. We got Muslim Salikov taking on Li Jinglang. That's a good fight there. Charles Air Jourdain coming in as the underdog, plus 136. Shane Burgos minus 167, the favorite. I like Jourdain in that one. I really think that he's going to come through and get a victory. He's been saying and doing all the right things leading into this fight. Just 26 years old from Montreal. He's coming off two straight victories in the UFC. Real nice guillotine submission win over Lando Venata in his last one. He's in tough against Shane Burgos, but I think that Air Jourdain gets it done. And Lauren Murphy and Misha Tate will round out the main card here. Misha Tate, former world champion, coming in as the favorite. Tate, minus 189. Murphy, plus 154. And I'll start here with my parlay. It's parlay time, boys. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
All right. Team Dave Parlay here. I'm going to get you started. Whoop. Where are we? Here we go. We're going to start with Brian T-City Ortega, minus 180. I think he gets a win over Rodriguez in the main event. Co-main event, we like Amanda Lemos, minus 313 over Michelle Waterson. Charles Air Jourdain, plus 136 over Shane Burgos. We also like Lauren Murphy to get it done over Misha Tate, plus 154. A little bit surprised that Tate is the favorite here going into the fight. Maybe it's name value. I'm not really sure. Murphy coming off a fight with Valentina Shevchenko. She just fought for the belt, and she's coming in as the underdog here. I think there's good value in Lauren Murphy. And we've got Emily Ducote coming in as the Invicta champion over Jessica Penne, minus 163. That is the opening fight on the card. Emily Ducote over Penne. $20. Nice little payout. Gets you $415. $20 gets you $415 with the Team Dave parlay here, plus 1895. The Team Dave parlay looking pretty strong. Once again, Ducote, Murphy, Jourdain, Lemos, and Ortega. Team Dave, five-fight parlay for you for UFC on ABC3. Freddie, you got one for me?
Yeah, I got a three-fight parlay. I got Lauren Murphy and Charles Jourdain also. And I got, and I might need you to pronounce his name again, but I'm going to just say Muslim Salikov, but that's not Muslim. It's
Muslim. Whatever, I think it's fine.
But yeah, Li Jinglang is not a very good fighter, I feel. He got destroyed by Khamzat in his last fight. And yeah, it's Khamzat, but no, Muslim is going to take care of business. So yeah, Salikov, Jourdain, Murphy.
There it is. Team Fred, Jourdain, Murphy, Muslim. $20 gets you $198.31 with the Team Freddy parlay. Solid comeback return there for Freddy. Jourdain, Murphy, and Salikov. AJ, your turn.
Yeah, man. Just to tell you, Freddie, Muslim is like, he has crazy knockout power, man. This guy, like, prior to the UFC was just a beast. He's going to, I agree with you, he's going to knock out Li Jianling. But you know what? It's not only his punching power, it's his kicks, man. There's no way Lee's going to be able to get into that pocket and take this guy down. It's going to be a knockout or a TKO, one of those. But I'll start off from the top. I'm going to go with Brian Ortega on this one. I have the confidence that Brian is going to be able to rebound and get back to his winning ways. But I don't think he has what it takes to go up against Volkanovski again, Dave. I don't know where he's going to go from here. But anyways, Brian Ortega for the win. I'm going with the Karate Hottie. I think the Karate Hottie has more in her pocket than Amanda Lemos. Amanda Lemos is great, but man, you know, Michelle Waterson might take the edge on this one. You know, it could be an either or on that fight, Dave, but I think Waterson has it. She's fought more notable people anyways in the long run, but I'm going with her. I'm going with Muslim for the win.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Charles Jourdain over Shane Burgos. Yeah, Burgos has better wrestling. There's no doubt about it. But, man, when it comes to the striking game and the significant amount of a striking percentage, you can't go against a guy like Charles Jourdain. When this guy comes out and he starts delivering, which he's going to deliver, this might be the fight of the night again. It's going to be a big win for Charles against a notable name like Shane Burgos. I think Charles is in the run if he could get this win. You know, and then I'm going to go with Misha Tate. I'm going with Misha Tate.
Charles. Yeah, I agree.
It'll be a big win for Charles. You know, this is we're getting into the hot pan, man. This is it. He needs to win the hot pan, man, and he needs to win big, and he needs to win impressively, man. But performance-wise, we know he's going to do something. You know, the only thing is that he overcommits in the beginning and gets knocked out. But I don't see that happening with Shane Burgos. But I'm going to go with Misha Tate. I'm going with Cupcake on this, man. I love my cupcakes, man.
Okay.
I like to eat those cupcakes. And that's my parlay, but I'm going to stick it to that. I'm not going into prelim. I don't see anybody on prelim. You got our buddy Ricky Simon, which is a pretty good
I can see him coming through, yeah.
But he's going up against Jack Shore. Jack Shore is no joke. He's 16-0 coming into this fight. It's going to be a tough one. That's going to be a tough fight. You know, it's a – I don't see anything that really stands out in the –
I like on the prelims. I like Soriano, Punahele Soriano. I think he beats Dasha Linjambula. I like Soriano -240. I think he definitely comes through and gets the win. And I like Jacoby. I like Dustin Jacoby over Daun Jung too.
Yeah, I think that could be a good one. Yeah. But I'm going to stay away from the prelims.
I had the first fight on the prelim on my parlay. Yeah, Ducote over Penne.
Oh.
That was on my part.
I thought you were going to talk about Abu Bakar that got canceled. Yeah, I know.
Here's AJ's parlay. It is
Let's see it, bud.
Ortega, Watterson, Salikov, Jourdain, Tate. $20 gets you $640, $247. It's the biggest payout for any of our parlays. I'm surprised by that. Why is your payout so big? Oh, because you took Watterson. That's why. I was like, I put a five-fight parlay, and I had two underdogs on my thing. How come AJ's payout is so big? Because Watterson is a +240 underdog. That makes sense to me. Five fights, 20 gets you $640, $247. I hope AJ doesn't win, because that would mean my parlay. If AJ wins, that would mean my parlay loses, and I don't want that. I want Team Dave to continue the streak. 3 weeks in a row, can we do it? Can Team Dave do it? My God, I was undefeated at UFC 276. I hit everything. Everything.
You did.
Every single fight I hit on that card. Last week, the Team Dave parlay comes through. This week, we're hoping for another one. Let's go. And that's it. That's all that I have for you tonight. I will be back with you tomorrow night with Johnny North. We'll be talking some professional wrestling. Johnny will be wrestling next Saturday, right, AJ? In the streets of Montreal as part of the Just for Laughs Festival? You have details on this, right?
Yeah, so pretty much all the details are on the Instagram page of Ringside or on the Twitter feed. You'll see like the links to get to Le Place de Festival. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a great card, man. There's going to be some exciting pro fighters fighting. Handsome JF is on there. There's so many like cool guys that actually follow our show now, which is awesome. But it's going to be fantastic. The Ringside Report crew is going to be there. PR Mark's going to be there. In fact, just a quick shout out to James Boom Boom Mancini having a show himself for Just for Laughs on Saturday this weekend. If you want to go see him perform, he's at Music. PR Mark is representing Ringside, and he's going to be doing what he does best, being on the inside of everything. And then the week after, we're going to be seeing Johnny fighting on the streets of Montreal at Just Beaulieu, and it's going to be awesome. We're going to have James Boom Boom there. We'll see who else could come out. Also, we have one of our fans that listens to us. You know, what's that? Is that it?
Yeah. Stu Grayson is going to be on this show. Former AEW member from the Dark Order, Stu Grayson.
And then we're going to have Dave Ford, who listens to us. He's going to be having a comedy show on the streets of Montreal, Balkanville, who might actually come out to see Johnny perform on Just Beaulieu. So listen, if anybody wants to come and join us, what day was it? The 23rd, Dave, I think it was? It's Saturday the 23rd at 9 o'clock at the Le Festival, whatever it is, for Juste Pour Rire. Join us, man. We're going to have fun. See, I know Angelo's going to come and meet us. Grace.
Look, see, this is a Stu Grayson. This is a Stu Grayson toy. Maybe Stu Grayson could sign it for me. Hey, Stu Grayson,
not, man?
Sign your
action
figure.
You're James Simon, man. Yeah, we'll do it, man. You know us. We'll
Johnny
get PR
get
Mark
done,
to do
baby.
It.
Your PR Mark will get it done for me. I'll just give it to PR
100%, man.
Oh, yeah. This Stu Grayson just got super valuable, baby. All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
That's it?
Yeah. Damn. Great show, guys. Angelo says, thank you, Angelo. A member of the team for 18 months. If you have not joined yet, please join. Join.ringsidereport.net. Join.ringsidereport.net is what you need to do. Donate.ringsidereport.net. Hit us up on Super Chat. Do all the things. Support the show. I'll be back 10 p.m. Eastern tomorrow night for the post-SmackDown show. We'll be talking about all the wrestling that is happening. You know? There's a lot of wrestling happening.
Yeah, it's all about Jake Paul, bud. You know that.
What?
Freddie knows.
What's the score in the Yankees game right now? 1-0 Cincinnati.
They were losing 1-0
no, one
one. Earlier.
1-1. Judge scores on a Stanton grounder. 1-1. I think it's 1-1.
Angelo, I think it's on Twitter. I'll send them to you. Freddie's wedding, man. The stag was even crazier.
There you go. And Angelo dropping a super chat. Thank you, Angelo. Appreciate you. And that's it. I'll be back tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right after SmackDown with Johnny North wrestling talk. And don't forget, July 30th, Saturday, July 30th, it is the UFC 277 watch-along and the SummerSlam post-show watch-along, because UFC 277 and SummerSlam are on the same night, July 30th. So get ready for that big event coming up here on the Ringside Report Network. And there is Patrick C. Hamilton dropping a super chat. 777, the lucky 777, Patrick. I hope that you bet with Team Dave last weekend, and hopefully we can win some more money this weekend together. Thank you, Patrick. You're the super chat leader of the night. Thank you, Angelo. Thank you to all the members and everybody watching.
Headstrong,
we love you.
Bacon.
And I'll talk to you super again chat, tomorrow chat. Night with Johnny. Okay. Thank you. Right here on the Ringside Report Network.
Please join in and give your support to Ringside Report Network. We've been providing expert coverage and commentary on both pro wrestling and MMA for over 15 years. Go to ringsidereport.net/support to find out more ways to support the channel.